So we reach the third of our sermons on safeguarding. Safeguarding is the foundation of mission. The readings used are Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 to 11, Galatians 6, verses 2 to 10, and Matthew 25, verses 31 to 44. May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When we read Isaiah's fierce invitation to loose the bonds of injustice and to set the oppressed free, he's calling us to a faith that is not content with ritual alone, but insists that worship must be visible in how we treat one another. Paul in Galatians reminds us that the life of faith is lived in mutual bearing of burdens. And Jesus in Matthew's great judgment scene makes the point unmistakable. How we treat the hungry, the stranger, the sick, the imprisoned, is how we treat him. Put together, these readings form a single simple argument. Mission that does not protect and care for the vulnerable is not mission at all. Safeguarding, then, is the ground on which mission stands. So we've seen over the last couple of weeks how we begin to build towards this foundation of mission. We've thought about relational security and building trust. We've thought how that leads us then into creating safe spaces, both physically and spiritually. You can see that we've come quite a long way from a simple, we have a policy, a procedure, and we undergo a tick box exercise to keep them quiet. We're seeing that safeguarding is a posture of attentiveness and responsibility. It's a practice, in the truest sense of the word, that we need to keep practicing it and rehearsing it and doing it over and over so it becomes second nature. It's a practice of noticing, of listening, of careful welcome and shared responsibility. When we have this at the foundation of mission, then our mission sits on a firm foundation, not a shaky one, because it sits somewhere theological, not just procedural. Our mission stems from this really important base of what Paul calls bearing one another's burdens. This is a call to mutual accountability. When we bear one another's burdens, we create a network of care that prevents harm from taking root. A community that practices bearing burdens notices when someone is isolated, when a child is vulnerable, when power is being abused. Bearing burdens means we do not leave the weak to fend for themselves. It means we accept responsibility for one another's well-being. In a church that takes this seriously, safeguarding is woven into everyday life, into how we welcome newcomers, how we supervise children, how we support survivors, how we train leaders. It becomes, as we have seen, less about dry compliance and more about the attitude of the heart. Mission is about encouraging people to entrust themselves to the heart of God, to love his Son, and be open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And if we are asking people to entrust themselves, then we have seen that requires that we act in a manner that says we can hold that trust in this church. This is a place where you can do this entrusting because we are trustworthy. I've used this analogy before, but I use it again. Imagine you are considering putting your beloved Auntie Mabel into a home. You are putting a lot of trust in that organisation to look after Auntie Mabel with safety, with dignity and with care. When you arrive at the home, you're welcomed by one person who seems to be the manager and a carer and a cook. In a slightly distracted manner, this manager, carer, cook says, "Yes, yes, you can be really confident in our care. We've got a policy somewhere that a couple of people read and signed off. We've got procedures in a folder somewhere that the administrator knows about, and the door is always open. We don't check visitors in and out or do anything that might put them off coming in to see their relatives. I will check in on your Auntie Mabel when I'm not also caring for other residents and cooking the dinner. Any questions?" I trust that we would not put Auntie Mabel in this home. So why would we entrust anyone to a church that behaved in that way? In Jesus' parable, he is identifying himself with the least, with the most vulnerable, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned. and he insists that mission is measured by how we protect and serve those who are most at risk. Safeguarding, then, is not a bureaucratic burden that distracts from mission. It's the clearest expression of mission. And Isaiah invites us to a proactive imagination of mission. He speaks of rebuilding ancient ruins, of raising up foundations, of being called repairers of the breach. That language is architectural. If mission is a building project, safeguarding is the foundation. You can decorate the walls and hang banners, but if the foundation is weak, the whole structure is at risk. A church that invests in safeguarding invests in longevity and integrity. It refuses to let charisma or good intentions be substitutes for structures that protect people. So it trains leaders, equips volunteers, creates safe spaces for honesty and accountability. These are not obstacles to mission. They are the means by which mission can be sustained and trusted. We must also remember that safeguarding is not only inward facing. When we engage in mission beyond our walls, feeding the hungry, visiting the imprisoned, welcoming refugees, we carry the same responsibility. Isaiah's call to loose the yoke is a call to justice in the public square. Paul's call to bear burdens is a call to solidarity with those who suffer. Jesus' identification with the least is a call to see Christ in the faces of those we serve. When we go out to serve, we must do so with respect, with consent, with sensitivity to context, and with an awareness of power dynamics. Mission that ignores safeguarding can do damage even as it intends good. To be faithful, our outreach must be both generous and careful. There will be costs. Safeguarding requires time and effort. It may slow down certain initiatives, but the cost of neglect is far greater. Lives harmed, trust broken, witness destroyed. Isaiah's promise is that when we loose the bonds, our light will rise in the darkness. It's a promise that the long-term fruit of faithful safeguarding is flourishing. Paul's encouragement that sowing to the Spirit, bowing to the Spirit, yields eternal life, reminds us that the investments we make in protecting one another are investments in the kingdom. Jesus' final judgment scene warns that neglecting the vulnerable is a spiritual failure with eternal consequences. Mission is such an important part of our shared life together. We gather to worship, to pray, to learn, but we are also invitational and outward looking. We want people in Ottery to know the good news of Jesus Christ. We want them to experience the peace and joy that comes from knowing forgiveness, knowing acceptance, knowing belonging in a deep and profound way. That's what mission is. And we do that in all sorts of different ways, ranging from coffee mornings to confirmation classes, from family fun days to detailed study of the Bible. Even in the simplest ways, at the votive candle, at the colouring table, we make space for the message of Jesus to shine through. And we want to do more, a lot more. Under One Roof is not just going to give us a new chunk of lead up there, but is going to change the internal space of the church such that our incredible and unique heritage can be accessed and enjoyed by more. But the key thing we want to do is get people to leave our church transformed, to have had an encounter with God. And we want to use the Lady Chapel to do that, to draw people to the most holy part of our church, the part that's only ever been used for prayer, and give them opportunities to experience prayer and holiness in a transforming way. So we want more and more people to come through our doors, and that puts even more importance on ensuring that what we bring people into has proper foundations, physically and spiritually. And the building blocks of that? You know the word I'm going to use. Safeguarding. Let's get at it. Amen.